This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon and welcome to Food for Thought with Carol. And joining me is Jeannie Lester as well as Tracy. We are on 107.7 WTPL in the Concord, Manchester and Lakes region, as well as streaming all around the world on WTPLFM.com, which is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And anytime during the show, you can give us a call at 866-823-1077. We'd love to hear of a new place that may be opening up or a new place you've eaten at or a recipe you'd like to share. Or if you just want to chat with us, again, the number is 866-823-1077. We'd also like to welcome our live audience here to the Beacon Building. We're at downtown. We're right in downtown Manchester at 814 Elm Street. You can come on down and have lunch at the Midtown Cafe, and you can come and watch the show. And we'd also love for you to like us on Facebook. You can go to Food for Thought with Carol. We have lots of pictures and some interaction activity going on and upcoming shows and past shows and all that stuff. So welcome to Food for Thought.
Yes, yes. And we also want to thank our sponsors for sure. Express Jewelry Center at 44 North Main Street in Concord. ExpressJewelryNH.com, precision repair and sales. Integrity Health Coaching Solutions in Bedford and Londonderry. IntegrityFit.com online, your coaching solutions company. Also, Belmont Hall and Restaurant at 718 Grove Street in Manchester at BelmontHall.net. Top quality foods made fresh for over 50 years. Red Arrow Diners in Manchester, Milford, and now open with drive-through in Londonderry, RedArrowDiner.com. Celeste Oliva at 75 North Main Street in Concord, South Main Street in Concord, sorry about that, CelesteOliva.com. You definitely want to get that right because you need to go in and talk to Sharla and find out all you need to know about not only olive oils, balsamic vinegars, but now fresh pasta and honey as well. Also, New England Coffee, the official coffee of Food for Thought at newenglandcoffee.com. And we are so excited because in a few short minutes, we are going to be talking with Jim Kalyanides of New England Coffee. And, you know, you will find out all you need and wanted to know about coffee. And the only way that I was able to pronounce that last name, hopefully correctly, we'll find out in a couple minutes, is because I had plenty of cups of coffee this morning.
I think you did it right because I spelt it the way that it sounds.
Phonetically, Kalyanides. Yes. I tried to do that as well.
Yes. So he's the president and GM, general manager. That's restaurant lingo.
Yeah.
and he's a fourth generation family member. So I'm really anxious. We're anxious to chat with him.
Yeah.
So good afternoon, ladies.
Yes,
what is happening? Tracy, how are you?
I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me again.
Good, yes. And let's see here.
A little later on also, you will have the privilege of hearing from Chef Patrick Hall of the Culinary Arts Program of Lakes Region Community College. He knows all kinds of things about all kinds of cooking and also helps them to put on meals at Shaker Village in Canterbury.
Well, that's where their campus is, right at Shaker Village.
Yes.
So it's really, very, very interesting. And then also Donna's Delights.
Donna's Delights. We have like a packed day today again.
We have a very packed day today.
Yes.
Donna Delights in Delaware. So.
Yes.
Today's food quote.
Okay.
We always have to start with the food
quote.
Yes,
we do.
It's really good, especially for what I'm eating.
Okay.
So, vegetables are a must on a diet. I suggest carrot cake, zucchini bread, and pumpkin pie.
Amen. I'm all about that.
Right?
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, boy.
Well, if maple syrup comes from a tree, and a tree is a sort of plant, and if I had maple syrup this morning over a Belgian waffle, does that...
That
kind of counts.
I think that qualifies.
Right,
yes,
pretty sure. I would definitely say so.
Yeah,
you're good.
Thank you.
You are all good. Today's national food holiday. Today is this is not diet related.
Okay.
National pound cake day.
Pound cake.
Don't you love pound cake?
You know, I do. I haven't had it in years though. It's one of those things that I had, and you think of it as this dense, buttery, rich. It's wonderful. But yeah, it's not something that I run out and procure. I don't make it. I have recipes I had another recipe and I wanted to put it in my little page protector recipe book. And I covered over one for pound cake. I was like, why is this even in here? I never make it. I'm not going to make it. It looked good, and it brought back those memories of, you right. know,
I would just
yesteryear.
Get a box, probably.
Or I know.
King,
you know
King
like
Arthur
why?
Flower.
Yes.
That would be the upgrade.
That would
and
be
that would
the
be
upgrade.
Fantastic.
Yes,
sure.
it would. Yes. I am put absolutely. Some berries on top, maybe, mm. you know, like a,
I think
a fresh fruit sauce.
Right. With yes. some fresh fruit mm-hmm. on it, you know, like a
strawberry shortcake.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Peach cobbler with some little pound cake, you know. Oh, okay.
You know, I know. You know, I was sharing with somebody the other day that the trouble is that, and it's nice trouble. You talk about food for 2 hours and you go the gamut of things. So I come out of here going, I need something fried, you know, or whatever it is that we focused on that day. And I'm like, normally when I could kind of contain things, I come out of here like with this unbelievable craving for something. Because
yeah,
we've really
I'm
hit on whatever
when I leave here.
Yeah.
Starving.
But then you have the other side of that. We also talk about, you know, making good choices and being healthy. So you kind of like your head is spinning. I'm like, oh, I really want some chocolate right now, but I really need to be good.
That's yeah. right.
So it's kind of,
and therefore,
it's difficult.
Is why I have my cherry tomatoes and cucumbers yeah. and yeah. my hummus.
I know, that is a wonderful mid-morning, well, early afternoon snack. I mean,
have
is
my
that
yogurt.
Lunch?
I have not eaten. I've been going nonstop. I've already been to Londonderry, had a meeting, and got ready for the show. Now I'm here.
Okay. So in order for you to have that, so you either planned ahead, though, to make sure that you had something that was going to be good for you to snack on. So, you know, we've been talking about busy days are not a great excuse to let your nutrition fall by the wayside, because it's really the opposite of what you want to happen. You're going to crash if you do the sugar thing. And so you planned ahead, or at least thought ahead. I mean, the things you've brought are probably, even if you don't plan ahead, that's stuff you could pick up at a market.
Yes, but I had it at home, and I planned ahead, and, you know, I put my little note by my keys in the morning, you know, at night so that I don't forget. And, No, I'm on my, I'm in my mode.
You're
I'm in my
zone.
And once you get into that habit, it's much easier to kind of continue with it. Because I know when I'm doing well versus when I'm not doing well, it's all about planning and being on a schedule and sticking with it.
Yes.
And the moment you step off of that, it becomes like, oh, I gotta run and get something quick, and it's much easier just to get something that's not healthy and that tastes better. But if you can stick with that plan and just be prepared the night before, it's much easier.
Usually when I'm busier, you know, like yesterday, I was nonstop all morning. I had I don't know how many meetings I had, and then I didn't leave here till 4:30.
Wow.
And then I left at 4:30 and I went to work out. Now how
good
is
that? Good job.
That's
awesome.
I had my gym clothes in the car, and you know what? The thought, it came and left right away. Like, do I not want to go? I've been really busy today. I really shouldn't go. But I'm like, no. And you know, I went and I walked in and I was
And then when you leave, you feel so good.
You feel even better. And it puts things in perspective, right? Because then the stress of whatever busy day you had yesterday and whatever is lying ahead for you today just kind of simmers down into perspective.
And Daryl cooked dinner again last night.
Beautiful.
He cooked dinner again, and it was beautiful again. I posted the picture again.
Okay.
And it was this, you know, he always says he can't cook, but he's been starting to cook a little bit more.
Sure.
And yeah, he's a better cook than I am.
Nice.
I mean, he, like I said, you know, I'm like a not messy cook. So I like to just, I just like a stir fry.
Yeah.
You throw vegetables in, you throw your chicken in, and you just stir fry it together. No, he's got all kinds of steps, and he sears the chicken and takes it out and then puts it back in, and this and that, and all these herbs. I don't know how to cook with herbs. I really don't.
Really?
Maybe we can talk to Chef Patrick about that.
That would be a great idea.
Do not know how to cook with herbs.
And when you do, it's so wonderful. And there have been some recipes we've come across, and like I said, Mark is more apt to tackle them than I. And he'll call somebody and find out, okay, well, how do I? Because some of the herbs that you get, if they're fresh, you don't know what part of that thing
to
use.
Do you use the stems? Do you not use the stems? Yeah. Do you use them on certain ones and not certain ones? I totally agree.
Perfect.
But he had all his little piles. And me, I just throw it all at the same time. I'm like, why aren't you putting that in now? No, you don't do that now. And it was the most beautiful stir fry ever.
Nice.
That sounds exactly like my house.
Yep.
My
husband did it with some chicken broth, too. Chicken broth and some Celeste olive oil.
Yeah.
And yum.
That sounds fantastic. Yeah. And it probably tasted even better after your workout.
It
came home and you're like,
it totally did.
It always tastes better when you don't make it. Have you noticed that? That's
true.
Yes, for sure.
That is true.
For sure.
For some reason, when somebody else makes it, you're like, oh, this is so much better than when I make it. I don't know why.
You're right. And that yogurt right there, what kind do you have right there?
This is a Danone Light and Fit Greek yogurt.
But what is the flavor?
Oh, sorry. This is toasted coconut vanilla.
Okay. I'm not a coconut person, but that's exactly what I eat every night for my snack. Mm. Yes. But I have caramel macchiato.
Oh,
I've tried that.
But isn't it nice? You still get that sensation of something creamy,
yes,
and cool, and
like
nice.
She says, it's 80 calories.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. And it's got the protein in it that's going to kind of give you some staying power.
And
you
kind of feel like you're having a little treat because it tastes
exactly
sweet. Yeah.
You know what else is good that I'll do at night sometimes too is the little 60-calorie puddings, Jello puddings.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, the sugar-free ones, fat-free, sugar-free, or whatever.
Yeah.
Those are very good.
Those are good.
What I like to do with yogurt is, I know it's, people have been doing it for years, but is fresh fruit. I cut up strawberries and just dip it in it, and it really does feel like you're having a nice little treat.
Yeah. Or if you want a little bit of crunch too, some slivered almonds on top are just a really nice, that is the best way. I love the almonds.
Yeah.
They're granola. Thin enough. Yeah. Yep. I like granola, like in the morning.
I don't like raisins though.
You don't? It'd have to be the granola.
Well, you know, they have granola without raisins. But you got to be careful with granola because some granola has lots of sugar in it and fats in it. And,
right.
You know, you got to kind of read the little, well, you got to read the label.
Yes.
The little label.
Sometimes it's a very big label.
Yeah.
The bigger the label, the more trouble
the
you're
worse
in. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Let me see here. I think we're good. Let's go to break and let's get Jim Kalyanides in from New England Coffee. So stay tuned. Food for Thought. I'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought. We are live at the Beacon Building in downtown Manchester. We're at 814 Elm Street. And I'd love to welcome our first guest today, Jim Kalyanides. He is he's the president and general manager. And he's also, I just think it's so important to say, he's also a fourth generation family member of New England Coffee. So welcome to Food for Thought.
Thank you.
Yeah. So how long have you been, well, four generations, how long have you been in the coffee business? But you yourself, because you're not that old. How long have you been at New England Coffee?
So I've worked full-time at New England Coffee for 8 years, but I've been around that business my whole life. So from the time we were all kids, our jobs were to go in during the summer, sweep the floors.
No way.
Clean the toilets.
I love that.
Dust, make sure the place was neat. And, you know, eventually when you were done with those tasks, you'd be in charge of picking up a box and putting it on a pallet and just work your way up in the company. I mean, that's really how we all started as kids. We'd work in the plant all summer and hopefully get paid.
That is so funny.
We weren't on the clock. My grandfather would come in after. I'll never forget. I think I was about 14. I think I just got my working papers and, you know, was in the kitchen at their house. And he says, well, you did a great job this summer. And he handed me a check for $250. And I thought, this is amazing. I got it. And, you know, that's kind of how we did it. We just loved being around the people and building relationships with all the workers. And a lot of those people, you know, are still there. I mean, we have a lot of 30, 40-year people that, you know,
employees.
I look at them. Employees. Yep. Yeah, that are still working in the facility, repairing equipment, in the office. You know, you find them all over the place.
I do. You know, I like yourself, the same thing with Belmont Hall. I mean, you know, my brother, my sister, and I, we used to go in on Sundays. They used to be closed on Sundays, and we used to peel the potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, peel the potatoes, you know, just like, you know, it's, and we had to graduate from certain things. We didn't just start being a cook or start, you know, we had to start at the bottom, like that.
Yeah.
Do you think that having to do that as a child kind of contributed to your success as an adult as well, being encouraged or forced, however it was, to work young and kind of have an appreciation for what goes into working at a business and starting from the bottom? Do you think that that contributed to kind
to
of
where
your
you
success,
are
to where you are today?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, one of the things that my parents, my grandparents wanted to instill in us was a work ethic. And, you know, the only way they were going to introduce us to the business was from the bottom. And I remember once I was able to, you know, growing up, you know, we knew the computer, so it was like, wow, we could get into the office and do data input. Now you're in the, you know, I just kept thinking, now we're in the air conditioning. This is such a promotion. Now I'm out of the plant and I'm in the office, and then after that I started repairing equipment and learning how to work on the bench, and that was a summer job, is where, you know, finally, you know, learning a more like of a trade. But it all goes back to the customer service pieces, all of the things that we did. I mean, the pride you'd see people take, and, you know, they'd know the customer order when it would come off the line. This is where this is going, you know. Mm-hmm. And people just took a lot of pride in their work, and that made us have a lot of pride. I think when I was young, I didn't really appreciate the effort and the pride people took in the work. Now that I'm older and I see that, it's irreplaceable. I mean, we are so beholden to all the people that have come through mm-hmm. through the generations that have kept this business going. It's really amazing to see the pride. And that's how we came in. And I remember when I was getting out of high school and going to college and graduating, and my grandfather says, there's no job for you at New England Coffee. You go learn somewhere else and then bring back the knowledge to us. And I had cousins that went into the business. But I think in the long run, it was definitely better to be able to stand on my own two feet and know that, all right, hey, you never know what's going to happen. And, you know, you can go work elsewhere and be okay. And that's kind of, at least with my family, what they wanted for us is, you know, this is what we wanted. Make sure it's what you want. And if you want it, come back. And if you don't want it, that's okay. We'll keep doing what we love.
Good. It's a great philosophy. Yeah. I love that.
That is. For those of you just tuning in, you are listening to Food for Thought, 107.7 WTPL. We're live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street. And we are in studio with Jim Kalyanides. He is the president and GM and fourth generation family member of New England Coffee. Jim, what I'd like to, you know, this is radio, obviously, and their listeners. Walk us through when you walk in the door, like when we went for the tour, you know, Red Arrow Diners, when we walked in for the tour of the facility, you know, maybe give us like, I know it's like, it's a lot of steps, but kind of a synopsis of like the steps of making coffee and what we saw and what we toured.
Sure. Well, when you come to the facility, the first thing we like to do is take people basically to the back of the building. So, you know, being manufacturing, it sort of does work in a cadence from back to front of the house. So, you know, the first thing we show people is really where we receive the green beans. So we receive trailer loads a day of just uncooked beans, and they're in these big 132-pound burlap bags, and we have to take them off the truck, and we stack them pretty high in the back. And Tommy is our dumper, and he's in charge of looking at the computer and seeing what tanks need to be filled. And if you're walking in that back door and you look up, you'd see these huge silos above your head, and they each hold raw coffee. And Tommy plugs in what he's going to dump in, and literally you grab it with some hooks, and you drag it over, and you dump the coffee out into a grate, and it goes through a magnet and shakers, and we clean it, and it goes to a tank. And then the next step to that is the roasting, and we have a roaster, George, who's been with us since 1972.
Wow.
And he's trained every roaster that's been behind him, so he's worked for every generation of our family. You know, I won't even say how old George is. He'll be mad at me, but he started the same year as my – actually, he started a year before my dad started.
I think I met him.
Yeah, and great guy and dedicated, I'll tell you. You know, he'll work however many hours you want him to work. And at that point, you know, the coffee is dropped into a roaster, and it sort of looks like, if you can picture, a huge clothes dryer. It works the same way. It's got a drum in it, and we fire the heat with gas, natural gas, and we – roast the coffee for about 11 minutes. It comes out, and then we have to cool it down so that it stops cooking, essentially stops roasting, almost like when you dump your pasta into a colander. It just lets that food set. And then we take it up to a tank, and then we decide, are we going to grind this up, or are we going to use it as a whole bean? And we put it in a tank, and from there, if it's going to be whole bean, it goes right off to the machine. We bag it, put nitrogen in the bag, take the oxygen out so that when we seal that bag up, there's no oxygen or very little. And if we're going to grind it, we send it to some big industrial grinders and off to more tanks, because when you grind coffee, it lets off gases. So we have to let that coffee rest for anywhere between 8 and 24 hours, get all the CO2 out of it, and then we start running it on a packaging machine. So that's sort of the back to front. And then from there, you know, where people are in front of a machine, they're moving the boxes, they're stacking them up. And off in the fork truck they go onto a transfer trailer up to our Wilmington warehouse. And, you know, then a whole nother operation you know, picks up from there.
How much coffee do you think that you produce, whether it be whole beans or ground, in a single day?
Well, we'll produce over 30 million pounds in a year. So if you kind of back that out, we're doing 600,000-700,000 pounds a day of coffee. So it's a lot of coffee. We're not quite 24/7. We're kind of 24/5, if you will. We run 5 days a week, but we do have a third shift. So you know, it's usually pretty busy all the time. We've got a lot going on.
It is. It's fun walking through the facility. It's just so exciting seeing all of the, you know, the big roasters, and oh my gosh, it's like my brother and I, we had our mouths open walking through the facility. It's very
and must smell amazing. It does it smell the same as when you open up that fresh bag of coffee?
It totally does. Mm-hmm. It totally does.
And you'll leave and your clothes will, you'll walk into the house and take your jacket off and go, depending if you like the smell or not, wow, this is really awesome, you know.
So. See, you go home smell like coffee. I go home and smell like diner food.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to go on a short break. You're listening to Food for Thought. We are in studio with Jim Kalyanides. He is president and general manager of New England Coffee. And stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 1077 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought. We are live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street, and you can give us a call at any time during the show. The number is 866-823-1077, and we are in studio with Jim Kalyanides. He is the president and general manager and also fourth-generation family member of New England Coffee, and we're talking about you know, the facility and how they do the roasting. And so something must happen, you know. Like, how do you get the beans? Like, where, well, I mean, I know where the beans come from, but like, there must be like a process with that. How does that work?
Yeah, so there's a whole process where we use a number of different dealers. Some of them we've used for 30 and more years that, you know, we talk about the quality of the product that we want, and they go and help us source it. And then we have to negotiate on the price and all of those things. But essentially what happens is they send us something in a sample. We roast it up in our cupping room, and we try it. So my great uncle, who just turned 89 last month, comes in every day, 4 hours a day. My great grandfather came in till he was 90.
Wow.
And
isn't that awesome?
He started working, I think, in 1948 at the company. And he's been the coffee cupper that has taught all the other generations about the standards. So he's sort of the person that, you know, when you're building your memory bank of tastings, you know, he's been the kind of the person that's been at it for 60 years.
He's the connoisseur of New England coffee.
So, and over the years, we've had multiple, you know, people come in and out, but he's been the one constant. And basically, they'll line up a series of cups, and we'll grind the coffee right on the spot and pour hot water in it. And we're smelling the coffee. We're looking for any off notes. We're then cupping the coffee. And again, you're just looking for that consistency. That's really what we're after, is the consistency and no defects.
Now, how difficult is that, though? I mean, when you're getting all these different kinds of beans, I mean, is it all about the roasting, too? I mean,
it's part of it. Really what you're looking for is probably like food. You know how you want that end product to taste, but, you know, there's always a variation here or there. What you're really looking for is that variation kind of, you know, out of whack, such that when someone would drink it, they'd say, wait, that's off. That isn't right. That's really the consistency we're going for. So, yeah, each of these different origins all have different characteristics. Like anything, if you were drinking wine or beer, I mean, you know, it can be a red wine, but there's all sorts of red wine.
All different grapes.
And so our two cuppers that work with my great uncle, you know, they are Q grade certified. So this is a test, literally, where you have to go blindfolded in this room with red lights.
So
and
kind of like a sommelier.
Wow.
Yes, it's very intense, and most people can never pass it because you have to dedicate yourself to that level of understanding. And so we have, you know, three cuppers. That's really what they're focused on, is ensuring that quality before we even start. So this is, you know, before you even put it on the truck. We want to make sure. Then when it arrives, we regrade all the coffee. So that comes in, we take our samples, and we make sure, yes, this matches our notes from before. And then, you know, we release it into the system, and then we do our finished goods testing after. But a lot of work goes into making sure that we don't get off on the wrong foot.
Wow. I find that absolutely fascinating. So they come to work and taste coffee.
That's their job. And they purchase the commodity, too, on the market. It's a commodity that trades like oil or oranges or things of that nature, cocoa. But, you know, we have to look at the market, decide when the time is right to buy, but also all that quality ahead of time. Generations prior taught us is quality, 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 consistency, consistency, consistency. You cannot let the customer down by offering them something right. that not meeting the expectation. Because in the, you know, the company's so different now. We have a retail brand, and you know, we're known, I guess, in a way.
Are.
But back in the early days, even up to the 80s and 90s, I mean, we were just a small business that was going out, and it was your reputation.
I actually have a question about it being more of a, you know, a how companies change and have to change throughout, you know, generations and all that just to keep up with the changing times. One of the things I was thinking about that must be a fairly new, even though we've been around for a while, a new addition to your the way you do things is the, I don't know if they're called something different, but the K-Cups.
Right.
So you were talking about, you know, before it was probably just ground versus whole beans. How has this introduction of the way people are preparing coffee changed the way you guys have to do business and that element that's been added in?
It's changed a lot. I mean, if 15 years ago you'd say, oh, everyone's going to be brewing coffee by the cup, you'd go, okay, that I don't even understand what that means. Mm-hmm. So for us, it's you know, I'd say for my generation, that's been our single biggest, you know, achievement to date is getting into that business because it's huge. And, you know, we're not, you know, we thank our competitors. We thanked Starbucks in the 90s for kind of creating a gourmet coffee revolution. We thank Green Mountain for, you know, investing in the technology to get us there. And we can quickly follow on and tag on. It's been huge and it's become, you know, a big part of our business, a really big part of our business and very important. And that's one thing we have to keep doing is staying relevant. And we're working on all sorts of new items and coffee drinks that, you know, people look at and go, really, that could be something. But we have to because, you know, people get older and we have to keep introducing ourselves.
You have to keep following, you know, the trends and,
yep.
and what is happening.
We have
you
to
know?
Be relevant to now. So, you know, I'll joke, you know, we look pretty good for a 100-year-old group of people. But, you know, after 100 years, I mean, you know, if we were doing what we were doing in the 30s, you know, we wouldn't be having this conversation. So each generation really it's kind of timed as has done something. The second generation, you know, we became a partner with Dunkin' Donuts and that was tremendous for us. And then the third generation really launched the retail brand. And now for us, we're launching single serve and we're going to have portable products, you know, and some really new innovative stuff that we're going to be bringing to market so that we can attract a new audience to the brand. I mean, that's really what we have to do.
And, you know, I think it's so powerful what you said, talking about, you know, your competition and how important it is that, you know, you're thanking them. Because, you know, I mean, I grew up, you know, we opened the Red Arrow across the street from another diner, Poor Boys. And, you know, competition only makes you better. You know, I mean, it keeps you active. It keeps you out and about. You have to be on top of things. You have to have your menu. You know, it's good for everybody.
It's great. And, you know, if you really think about any industry, there's only a few, you know, some of these things really are once in a lifetime, and there's never been another company like Starbucks that actually pulled it off. There's not another competitor, a viable one, to Green Mountain on the single serve. So, you know, these are really huge things that very few people could pull off. We're not looking to be the company to pull off the next, you know, big trend. You know, we kind of bring it back to the values of the brand, being consistent, being relevant, offering good quality. And then look for the place that we can fit in where that resonates with the customer. You know, flavored coffees. I mean, you know, the fights that were had over, is this a good idea?
Second
and third generation.
Oh,
yeah. Well, just getting into flavors was a huge ordeal because people looked and said, who would want coffee that tastes like a blueberry or a hazelnut? This is ridiculous, you know.
Now, was it maybe the older generation saying that?
Yep,
right?
Of course. And the newer generation saying, well, no, you know, there's something here. This is interesting. If you add cream and sugar to this, this could be something. And then thank you, Dunkin' Donuts. They created iced coffee. If you go anywhere else in the country outside the Northeast, they don't understand this concept of iced coffee. But up here,
it's a craze.
It's a craze. And
it is.
It's growing, and it's unbelievable. So, you know, our job is just to be on top of things and make sure that we can offer a product with our brand that people want to buy.
And I think having the flavored coffees is really huge because you can really reach a much broader customer, because there are people that maybe don't drink coffee or are not a huge fan of, you know, the true dark roast black coffee and might need those other things to maybe enjoy it more. So it seems like the flavored coffees, you're reaching out to a much broader audience.
And that's been our niche, I guess, for lack of a better word. You know, Dunkin's known for the lighter roasted coffee, Starbucks a darker roasted coffee. Our best-selling blend is a lighter roasted coffee. That's sort of a New England type of thing. But flavors for us, I mean, especially not only in the grocery store but in food service, I mean, you know, we'll have 75 flavors. I mean, almost anything you can think of. And we are always trying, almost weekly, something new. You know, a few weeks ago we were trying, you know, lemon zest coffee, and we were trying all these, you know, Chipotle, and because we watch food.
What about Sriracha?
So we haven't done that one yet.
Oh my gosh.
But we try bacon coffee. I mean, we look at the food trends from our customers. You know,
right.
what are you doing with your menu? Bacon was really hot,
right.
You know, last year, and they don't always work, but, you know, we're going to launch this year at the food show a collection we call the New England Retro Flavor. So it's things like the Honey Dip Donut and, you know, Jumpin' Joe Frogger and all these interesting things, peanut butter and jelly, all these things that go, really, peanut butter and jelly coffee? Then you drink it and you go, So if you're inclined to be a little bit more, you know, adventurous and you like the flavors and the experimentation, it's really neat. You know, there's something there.
Peanut butter and jelly. Now, I'm not a big flavored coffee girl, but that intrigues me.
Right. Now, blueberry coffee at the grocery stores is like our sixth best-selling coffee. It's unbelievable, but it's really good. And if you like flavored coffee, it's perfect.
That's the other one that I do
try.
Like, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, going back to the Courage, did you guys know that they're going to be making us Red Arrow K-Cups?
Awesome.
We're going to be having our own Red Arrow K-Cups at the diner, which is really cool.
Yeah, so there's, you know, that for us is a big vehicle of growth. And, you know.
And again, you have other things besides coffee. You have tea as well.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so tea is if you take yourself out of New England, iced tea is really huge, especially, you know, all the way in the Southeast. You know, picture kind of getting to, you know, Virginia and down under in a big U shape of the country.
Oklahoma, that's where I'm from.
Iced tea.
Iced tea. You
know,
grew up on it.
You know,
sweet tea, right?
You know, there's sweetened tea, unsweetened tea. But, you know, the principles of tea are really the same as coffee. It's about the ingredients you start with. Did you blend it properly? Did you get it all to line up just right? And it's the clarity of the tea once you put it in the cup. It's the taste. There's so many different variables. And for the people that love tea, they can discern the differences between. Mm-hmm. And at our company, we have Malcolm Shalders is our tea commodity buyer and taster. And he's a third generation tea person. And Mark Woods, our green coffee person, is a third generation, you know, coffee cupper. So a lot of people, you know, that, you know, they're a little more artistic, and they really have this love of the product and the romance of it. I mean, they are romantic products if you think about how long they've been around and how many things happen around a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, you know,
right.
That it really has a lot of meaning, personal meaning to people, and that's really what keeps them interested in it. So.
And do you do the tea in a totally different facility, or are they in the same building?
Teas are in the same facility, but they're segmented separately, so we don't process the things together next to each other. They're sort of segmented off so that we have good process and quality control, you know, for each of the different things.
I'd like to go back to the romantic side about it for a minute, because it's true. It's something that when you want to get together with a girlfriend, or, you know, you can speak for the guys, but I know when girls want to get together, we always say, hey, you want to get together for a cup of coffee or a cup of tea? It's just something that you can use as an excuse to get together and sit down with a girlfriend and hang out and just sit and enjoy that cup of coffee or cup of tea together. So I'm glad that you mentioned that, because
yeah,
it's true.
It's a very, for people, it's funny that when you really start peeling it back, I mean, people say, well, I need it for my energy and all that, but when you really start talking to people about it, it just comes down. It's so personal. Mm-hmm. You know, so many things are tied to that, you know, that the moments, or just there's memories, there's all sorts of different things. And that's really what it comes down to. And that's why coffee's so personal. You know, don't mess with my coffee.
That's true. You hear that a lot.
You know, you do. And, you know, it doesn't taste the way I had it yesterday. And people just, they remember it as a very personal thing.
Oh, yeah.
Thing.
I mean, at the diner, if something is a little, I mean, that's the first thing you hear, you know?
And like any, you know, making food, making coffee, making wine, anything, there's so many variables. I mean, you're taking something that, you know, a coffee bean, there's no two alike, like a lot of ingredients in food, there's no two alike. And you have to somehow figure out how to get each and everything to taste the same over and over and over and over and over. And it's very difficult. And, you know, you have to maybe change the mix a little bit here and there to get that consistency. But that's okay. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, you want to deliver someone something that will meet someone's expectations. Hopefully you can exceed it, but, you know, meeting it's really the important part.
We're talking with Jim Kalyanides. He is the president and general manager and fourth generation family member of New England Coffee. And we just have like a couple of minutes left. And I just want to mention when we had, when you hosted your customers at Foxwoods for an event, which was wonderful, you were highlighting or you were debuting the Blizzard Bold.
Right.
Maybe let's just chat about that just a teeny bit.
Yeah, so, you know, one of the things we try to do...
It was delicious, by the way.
Thank you.
Loved it.
You know, one of the things we try to do is, you know, a lot of, you know, if you think about a grocery store or anything, you know, things get stale. So what new is happening? So we always try to be a good partner to the customer and say, you know, if we can bring you some new things that generate excitement in the category, are you open to that? And everyone, yes. So we just had an idea. We worked in our lab and just said, you know, it's cold. You know, what does that make you feel like? You just want to hunker down. You want to, you know, just that good, strong cup of coffee. And, you know, we took a nice blend. We ground it a little finer and we put it in a really unique bag.
That's cool.
And, you know, we got it to be a dark roast, but not bitter. And it has a really smooth finish. And the reception's been, you know, tremendous to the coffee.
Love it.
And so that's kind of what we think a lot about every day is what can we do next? And in spring, we're going to have another new blend called Spring Awakenings, which, you know, I don't know any other way to say it, but when you drink it, it kind of reminds you of spring. It just, it's a flavorful coffee and it, you know, you get it. So.
Jim, thank you so much for coming down to the studio.
Well, thank you for having me.
And we learned so much about coffee. You know, it's always an education with us. And you have to come back because I still have many questions
sure.
for you. So thank you very much. And glad that you came to Food for Thought. So listeners, stay tuned. And we will be back with Donna's Delights from Delaware and Chef Patrick Hall from Lakes Region Community College. We'll be right back.